And welcome once again to EWTN's Bookmark. I'm Doug Keck, your host, our guest author. Back again with us is Deacon Rich Eason, and his book is Spiritual Lightning, Answering Your Call from Jesus to Master His Values. And again, proudly published by EWTN Publishing and nationally available through the EWTN Religious Catalog, EWTN.com and EWTNRC.com. Good to see you again, Deacon.
Thank you. Appreciate you being here.
Second time. Now, your other book you did with us did quite well. What was that book?
Yeah, Spiritual Excellence, The Path to Happiness, Holiness, and Heaven. Mm-hmm. And it was all about teaching people to look at excellence in their spiritual journey in life and right. the transition from excellence in our daily habits to make it work in our spiritual life.
Why do you think that book struck a chord?
So many of us understand this concept of excellence, but we never think about it in our spiritual journey. Mm-hmm. As Catholics, we're typically in Mass on Sunday, and right. when we leave church, we have a real good feeling, and then we kind of lose that as the day wears on, and we kind of lose it during the week. And the whole idea was to have spiritual excellence in your daily walk in life, right. and that's what really helped people
right,
understand
Right, like EWTN
that.
Hopefully gets you from Sunday to Sunday.
Yeah, yes,
helps
sir.
You get along there. Now, another book, Spiritual Lightning, Answering Your Call from Jesus to Master His Values. Now, were you hit by spiritual lightning?
Yes, sir. I was... I guess about 40 years ago, I practiced law in New Orleans, and there's a church a few blocks away from my office called St. Patrick's, and it's been around for about 150 years.
Right,
it has
yeah.
these beautiful stained glass windows, and I was attracted to this one stained glass window that's on the right rear of the church, mm-hmm. and it has the image of Jesus, which is the cover of this book, and he's pointing to Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul, and he tells him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And it was at the time that Saul was persecuting and killing Christians.
He was on his way to Damascus.
Yes.
Right,
yeah, right. And he knocks him down with those words, and he blinds him for 3 days, and Saul converts from persecuting and prosecuting Christians to promoting the good news. And as we all know, right. he became the Apostle Paul, and then he wrote the majority of the books of the New Testament. So sitting there regularly, I realized that spiritual lightning was touching my soul and causing me to grow deeper
okay.
in my faith.
Define spiritual lightning.
It's a grace that comes from God that can touch every soul in different parts of your life. It can be something that you can experience dramatically in the form of maybe a healthcare issue, the loss of a family member or a friend, or some dramatic impact in your family. It can touch you circumstantially through a series of negative
events. You kind
of
lay out the different ways
yeah.
in the book, right.
And whatever way it touches you, you have the choice to make. Are you going to respond to that grace and make it part of your life? Or continue to go on and kind of struggle
right.
between discontent
right.
and happiness. But if you respond to that call of that grace, you're going to learn about Jesus' values, master them in your life, and it puts you on the road to heaven and you bring joy and happiness.
Well, you weren't out persecuting Catholics, were you, before this, right?
No, sir, I wasn't out there doing that. But I wasn't focused the way I should
okay.
have been. And being a litigator, it's easy to get sidetracked with just dealing with the world of what goes on in litigation. But as time went on, I realized that I need to incorporate that in my daily life. It helps you in all aspects, family life, work life, ministry life, and so on.
You talk about the book begins with different ways the grace of spiritual lightning is used by Jesus to motivate each soul to answer his call. You talk about specific form of spiritual lightning utilized by our Lord, the lives of the saints and ordinary people. You kind of talk about both groups
yes, sir.
And how it impacted them. You say there's also then a series of reflection questions for each of the teachings of Jesus help you to develop this master plan. How did you come up with the master plan, or did you just derive it from Scripture?
Well, when you look at our daily lives, so often we read a book, and you may take a few thoughts from that. It may be part of your life for a few days, a few weeks, a few months, and then you move on. Hmm. But what can we do to create something that can impact us every day for the rest of our lives? And that's where this master plan comes in. So as you read this book and you learn about the different values of Jesus, how do I incorporate that in my daily life so that I can keep this divine grace of spiritual lightning at work in my soul? So there's a 6 or 7 components to your daily master plan. It's partaking of the sacraments, mm-hmm. would be Eucharist on the weekend and during the week, confession, getting involved in a church ministry, doing mm-hmm. some spiritual reading so that you can continue in your spiritual growth, participating with family time every day, prayer
right.
with your family. Those types of things are part of your daily master plan. And once you get into that routine
right.
of doing that, you'll find that your joy level will increase through through the ceiling because you'll experience that great joy every day.
Let me ask you, you said the book is based on inspirations from the Holy Spirit. How do you know they're from the Holy Spirit?
It's like learning to listen to the voice of Jesus. Mm-hmm. I was one of those Catholics that I go to Mass on Sunday and might say a few prayers every day, maybe mm-hmm. at the end of the day, but then I realized that over time that if I improve my prayer life, praying in the morning when I wake up, maybe saying a little Decade of the Rosary on the way to work, turn the radio off, pausing at midday at lunchtime to think about prayer life. Maybe at the end of the day, I learned the daily exam in front of St. Ignatius Loyola, and by increasing my prayer life, I learned to listen to the voice
of Jesus.
He's
one of the ones you talk about in the book.
Yes,
right?
sir. Yeah. And during the day, I learned to listen to that voice. So as issues would come up along the way, whether it be mm-hmm. simple or complicated, the voice of Jesus was always there for me to provide me the guidance and direction.
Well, one of the things you talk about that reminds me of something that Father Spitzer would always say in his show, with the idea, if it's taking you in a direction to a closer relationship with God, then it is from the Holy Spirit. If it's taking you in a different direction, then you better question where that
That's
voice
right.
is coming
That's
from.
Exactly
so it's good.
Right.
You say, answering the call from Jesus of spiritual lightning in your soul is a game changer that will lead you to an amazing life, which will help you and those around you reach heaven. Do you think part of the problem we have today is people don't really think about either worrying about heaven or figuring, well, if there is one, everybody's going there anyway?
Yeah, people are looking for the next good time. Mm-hmm. So if it's from event to event or the next party or the next job scenario, always looking for something earthly mm-hmm. without realizing that there truly is one goal in life, and that's one of the values of Jesus, that heaven is the only real goal in life. So mm-hmm. you've got to build your resume, so to speak, for that time when you face Jesus one-on-one. And by building your resume, you're focusing on your spiritual journey and getting away from all these earthly entrapments.
Now, you said the motivation for the work was to inform my three sons, daughter-in-law, future daughter-in-law, and grandchildren. Why them? Are you worried about them? Are you worried about society? Is it greater than that in your mind?
Yes, sir. In today's world, so many of our young people are caught up in all the earthly trappings, and
right.
there's less and less focus on our spiritual journey. So mm-hmm. for me, it's one thing you can have a legacy of leaving material things, mm-hmm. but what about leaving a spiritual legacy for your family? And that's what this book mm-hmm. is all about. So as they're growing in their faith, they'll have an opportunity to learn these values and incorporate them in their lives and be closer mm-hmm. to our Lord and have a stronger spiritual journey than maybe right. otherwise they wouldn't.
Let me ask you a question. My experience to some degree in business over the years, especially before coming to EWTN, and ask you as well, you run into a lot of people who are very successful in business, successful lives in the sense of from the secular world, you know, and the kids, their kids, kind of, maybe they're Catholic, but maybe not so much anymore, and are really trying to focus back on getting the grandkids.
Right.
And now that there's grandkids saying, no, we got to save these families, at least for the grandkids, and maybe in some ways have the grandkids re-evangelize their parents.
Absolutely.
Right.
When you look at the real journey in life, I know I learned along the way as a deacon, I've done a lot of weddings.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're talking to the bride and the groom and always tell them at the end of the homily, your only goal in life is to get one another to heaven.
Right.
And as parents and grandparents, our really goal in life is how are we going to get our kids to heaven? And even if you're behind the curve a little bit, there's always ways
right.
to go back and capture that goal in your own life, but capture it for your children and grandchildren.
Right, and as Mother Teresa said, we're not asked to be successful, we're asked to be faithful. Our job is to try.
Absolutely.
Everybody has free will.
Absolutely.
You know, it's interesting, in the beginning, you say much gratitude to a couple of people. Danny Abramowitz, obviously the coach who we love,
yes,
EWTN. A New Orleans guy, another New Orleans guy, the one and only Raymond Arroyo,
right.
who actually brought your first book
yes,
to me about us publishing this book. But the third one I thought was interesting, Bishop Robert J. Baker. What's your connection with him?
When I came up here for the first book, I developed a contact with him, and I
okay.
went out to visit with him in the Hansville area, and he brought me to the Chenecolo community.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a chance to make a little talk on spiritual excellence.
That's the drug addicted group and stuff in Chenecolo,
yes,
right up in there.
I'm
right?
sorry I pronounced it
yeah,
wrong.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But I had a chance to speak to the young men who were there, and what a joy that was. And I realized how gifted Bishop Baker was, as busy as he is in his own world of practicing as a bishop, but also to start this community here and to make it work. And I know of someone in New Orleans whose son went there and changed his life.
Right.
So.
Okay.
It was powerful to meet him. And
right. He's
him.
Always been heavily involved with that. And we had Mother Elvira when she was
oh,
still
really?
Alive here. And she was one of those persons you could see the Holy Spirit was working there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we had Mother Angelica, Mother Elvira, a couple of people come through at different times. You say, well, the Holy Spirit is quite alive in particular person. You mentioned, are we paying attention and responding to this grace of spiritual lightning, or are we ignoring it? He is calling you. We can respond to this call to live an abundant life. Now, abundant life was always Jeanette's line, the abundant life thing. And people say, well, where's this great abundant life? I see lots of good Catholics out there. And it doesn't mean their lives are so wonderful. What am I missing?
Sure. As she talks about a lot on her show about holy conversation. Right. And it's how you live your life every day. If you're practicing holiness with a strong prayer life, scripture reading, helping others, mm-hmm. being selfless about the way you conduct yourself, then you learn what that abundant life is all about, because continuous joy and mm-hmm. happiness flows in your life when you're living your life that way. And that's the general concept. So once you realize the grace of spiritual lightning has hit you mm-hmm. in one of these forms we talked about, your task then is, what do we do with that? And if you learn to master the values of Jesus, which we talk about in this book,
right.
then the abundant life just comes to you naturally.
You say the odds of getting struck by lightning in a lifetime are only 1 in 15,300. Similarly, there is a limited number of times when Jesus touches our souls with spiritual lightning. Why do you think that's true, and how do you know that's true?
Well, having been a deacon for nearly 12 years, a litigator for 40 years, a teacher and a coach, and working mm-hmm. in homeless shelters and nursing homes and hospitals, I've had hundreds of conversations with people from teenage years to 90 years old, and you realize along the way that all of them at some point in time face that reality that maybe God's touching me right now. Mm-hmm. And what do I do with that? Is that something I just pay attention to for a few days and go back to my old ways, or do I make a change in my life and really start focusing on my spiritual journey?
Right.
So that's the whole idea there.
Well, you alluded earlier to the idea of circumstantial, kind of, you talked about the way that individuals are impacted, some dramatically, some circumstantially, indirectly, or subtly. Is it better to be dramatic or circumstantial or subtle? Because I guess one might be, because some of the ones you have here, like dramatically, could have been, you know, COVID, victim of a crime. One here in that same list I thought was interesting, job loss, all these terrible, control of an addiction. Then you put conversion to the Catholic faith. I didn't know it was such a horrible thing.
Well, you know, we're just coming off the Easter season, and at the vigil we always work with mm-hmm. people who are coming into the right. church. So a conversion experience, just to make the decision that I'm going to go through RCIA, is a dramatic event.
Right.
And from doing that, you get that grace of spiritual lightning, because to go through that RCIA right. journey is a real powerful experience for people.
You also had the last one under dramatically is the startup of a new ministry. Is that from your own personal experience?
Yes, sir. When I first went to a Good Shepherd Parish, the Monsignor said we really didn't have a whole lot of charitable ministries going on, and he asked me to start them from scratch. Mm-hmm. So going around and trying to get it off the ground to find a location, the people to do it, inspiring people to get involved was a real challenge and required the Holy Spirit's mm-hmm. guidance.
Now, we alluded to a couple of St. Ignatius Loyola, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Vincent de Paul, here, St. Bernadette Subaru, about different people who, you know, had kind of had that spiritual lightning. The one I reminded me, I forgot about the fact that St. Vincent de Paul was captured by the Barbary Pirates for 2 years
right.
before he got back to France. How did you decide to pick those individuals?
Well, I'm blessed over the years. I've studied the lives of about 40 saints. And you remember the days when you used to collect baseball cards?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I've collected kind of trading cards of the saints. Mm-hmm. And in I have about 30 or so of them, and I have them scattered in my closet and my work desk at home. And
you have a checklist. They have a
and
checklist.
I've learned all
checklist.
The
no.
Yeah, that's right.
About the old baseball checklist.
Yeah.
Well, I can't do anything with this. You already marked it up.
Yeah,
and
I don't.
You're not supposed
the checklist
to mark it up.
For saints is endless, right?
Yeah, that's right.
But I studied these lives, and I started thinking about this book. And having studied their lives, I realized that spiritual lightning had touched these saints mm-hmm. in a very special way, because they had a dramatic change in their lives.
Right.
Like St. Ignatius Loyola, he was a young man who was leading troops into battle, and right. he gets hit by a cannonball, and he's crippled. And from that point, what do I do now? My whole life is taken away from me. And he realizes that he starts the Society of Jesus, which yeah. later becomes a Jesuit order. And so spiritual lightning struck him in that way.
So who's Saint Bob Stern? Oh, well, it's not a saint. What is it? Who's Bob Stern?
Yeah, we have a number of, in thinking about, I was telling you about the conversations right. I've had with hundreds of souls over the years. I was thinking about individual, ordinary people like you and I. Mm-hmm. The saints are in a whole nother realm, and we're all striving to get there. But so I was thinking about ordinary people. Bob Stern's a close friend of mine, mm-hmm. and he was practicing the Jewish faith, and he got the call to go to the Manresa Catholic Retreat House that's run by the Jesuits in South Louisiana.
When you say got that call, how did he get a call?
He had a lot of Catholic friends, and they encouraged him to go.
It wasn't like the Holy Spirit spoke to him?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And he went to there for his first retreat, right. and he realized, boy, there's a whole other way to look at life.
Right.
And from there, not only did he join the Catholic faith, right. but he's now in formation to be a deacon.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So he accepted that grace of spiritual lightning.
Then you also have somebody like a Jesse Pullins who really, you're talking about drugs and homelessness in his case.
Yeah, he was a very special man. He actually worked at the Ozanam Inn homeless shelter every week. And Jesse was one of the guys who'd been in the Army. He was actually over defending the wall in East Germany and West Germany.
Oh, okay.
Came back to New Orleans, got a job for a while, then got hooked on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Became homeless, was living on the street, eating out of dumpsters, sleeping on cardboard boxes, and then he had to have a surgery. And we came out of the surgery, he tells us that he had a choice. He could go left back to his life of homelessness and substance abuse, mm-hmm. or go right to the Ozanam Inn homeless shelter mm-hmm. and get his life in order. And since then, he's a business owner, he's married, and now he goes back to the inn and he teaches other young men who are struggling with addictions right. and homelessness on how to get back on the right path.
Do you think, again, it helps in many ways for them to be dealing with somebody who they know dealt with what they're dealing with?
Absolutely. Right. Having been at the homeless shelter for 10 plus years now, I realize from talking to a lot of homeless men, when they have someone who has actually been there
right.
and can tell them their story, their journey in life, it really helps them perk
see
up.
See, there actually
there's
is
a way
an opportunity.
For me, I can get out.
Right, there is an opportunity. You say the vast majority of Catholics complete their formal religious education by the age of 18. As a consequence, there is a huge gap in our spiritual knowledge. It is critical to fill that gap to make the divine power of spiritual lightning become fruitful, leading us to an abundant life, as you said before. You said this book addresses the core teachings of Jesus that we all need to follow so that we may fully unleash the divine power of Jesus in our souls. With each of these teachings comes a grace from God, and then you go teaching one through, what is it, 15?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How did you decide to break it up that way?
Well, it was interesting when you start looking at what are the real values of Jesus. Started looking, and there are many of them that are out there. What are the 15 that are most common to people who really don't necessarily have the exposure to spirituality mm-hmm. and the scriptures? We all know we get a few scripture readings on the weekend, and it's weekend to weekend.
Right.
But if we break down the real values of Jesus that he lived by, that he taught the apostles, that he's taught all of us,
mm-hmm.
and you put them in writing with the scripture passages that go with each one of them, then it makes big sense for people to understand it, grasp it, and make it part of their journey in life.
Why don't you talk about Aunt Vivian and Uncle Rob?
Yeah, they were a very special couple because that's the first chapter about learning to love God without limits.
Mm-hmm.
And each chapter starts off with a kind of a life story that you can identify with quickly and get into the meat of the chapter. And Aunt Vivian and Uncle Rob were in their 40s when they got married, and they were deeply in love with one another. And after about 30 years of marriage, Aunt Vivian contracted Alzheimer's disease
yeah.
and eventually had to go in a nursing home.
Yeah.
And my Uncle Rob, who was a chef, would bring her gourmet meals every day and was dedicated to her for many years before she passed. And even right. while she was there, she wouldn't identify him, and she yeah. would tell the nurse to get this strange man
right,
out of
right.
her room, but he was there every day, so he loved her without limits.
Right.
In the same way, we have that commandment to love God without
right.
limits.
Right. You also have a quote in here I thought was interesting in that same chapter from the Apostle John, where you quote the fact, the way we may be sure that we know him is to keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And that seems really important statement today, because there's a lot of people who think, well, I can be a good Catholic, a good Christian, but, you know, kind of cafeteria style.
Sure, absolutely. And the key word in there is the truth. Mm-hmm. Jesus tells us that his ways are the truth, and that means the Ten Commandments. And if we're not following them, then we really aren't
right.
giving ourselves a chance to live the abundant life we talked a little bit about earlier.
They say the secular world is trying to take God's commands out of our lives. They want us to ignore and forget him. You go on to say God is being replaced in our lives with the evil one and his awful ways. How does one see that? What would be an example in your own life that you saw that happen to you?
Well, all you have to do is turn on the television. Mm-hmm. You realize whatever show you're watching, they're promoting sexual misconduct, mm-hmm. or they're promoting the values that aren't from Jesus, greed, power, envy. Mm-hmm. Those kinds of things are on every television show. They're advertising politics to the point where it's taking over people's lives. People right. are getting possessed by that.
Yeah,
and the reality is what we're really looking at is getting back to the ways of Jesus and right. putting that on the sideline.
Because we do those things, a lot of these other things will take care of themselves.
Absolutely.
Won't they? Right.
And if you have a dedicated prayer life, like we were talking earlier, morning right. to evening, you have less time for that and more right. time on your spiritual journey.
Right. Spiritual treasures for reflection, as we said. So at the end of each chapter, you have those. How did you decide to put it? You've got this one, Spirit has from Matthew, one from John, another one from John. Did you put those together? Was that your idea or the publisher's?
No, that was our idea. And the reality is each chapter is only about 5 to 7 pages mm-hmm. long, but it has anywhere from 5 to 7 scripture quotes in it. And if you look at the concept of any one of these values, what can you take away from that chapter and employ in your life? Mm-hmm. And so it's not what I think. It's about what Jesus said or the apostles right. said who wrote the books of the New
right,
Testament.
Because at the end of the book, don't you, as I recall, you have a chapter with a bunch of questions, right? And reflections and questions on each of those that you
right,
put
so
at the
you
back.
Can, as you read a chapter to make
Why'd
sure.
Why did you decide to put them at the back like an appendix rather than have them after each chapter?
I don't know. That was a publisher decision.
Oh, they decided
on that.
To?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's a really important part of to really grasp each concept. Bring it home in your soul, and so you can really apply okay. it. It helps you think and reflect a little bit.
Right. In Love Your Neighbor as Yourself, you talk about something called the Cajun Navy. Who
yes.
are they?
The Cajun Navy originated after Hurricane Katrina. Mm-hmm. We were living in New Orleans at the time, and
right.
so many people know about that event.
Right.
But during the early days of that window of time, the streets of New Orleans were just mm-hmm. flooded, and people yeah. had no way out of their homes.
Yeah.
So people from South Louisiana, especially Southwest Louisiana, came over with their boats, mm-hmm. launched them into the city, and they're floating through the city,
right.
taking people from their homes to a safer ground, and they were designated the Cajun Navy. So it's all about being selfless. Those people left
right.
their jobs, brought their boats to New Orleans
right.
to help people get out of the harm's way and all the challenges right. they were facing after the storm.
There are a lot of good people out there.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Really. Yeah, you'd say our American culture today promotes hatred as a way of life. You say at times we can grow weary of the ongoing hatred in our culture. The good news is that we don't have to let this misconduct influence our joy in life. We have a choice to make each day. It kind of alludes to what you were talking about with the news and politics, right?
Right.
That those
how you
things
spend your
consume
time.
Us, right?
Yeah. If you spend time looking at your spiritual journey each day, you do a little spiritual reading, mm-hmm. you're filling your soul with God's values and not the values mm-hmm. of the world. And over time, you realize, I have more joy from spending time understanding
yeah.
and learning Jesus' values and those in the world.
Right. Do you like to play the horses? I mean, at Kentucky
yeah.
Derby, are you good at that? Or
no,
what?
No, but it's a good analogy, a good story to start off with, right?
About competition
yeah.
is what you're talking about.
Yeah,
okay.
yeah.
Yeah, but for us, it's a race for our souls.
Right, and if you think about it every day, you can, as you were saying earlier, mm-hmm. Doug, you can let yourself be bombarded with things that are going on in the world and get overwhelmed with that and start being bounced around like a ping pong ball in your
right.
emotional life. Or you can choose the spiritual journey and let that natural joy come into your soul.
You say, to ensure God's will is the winner in the race for our souls, we have several tools available to eliminate temptation and sin. These tools are virtues, self-discipline, daily examine, a daily scorecard, and a confession. Okay, so these are interesting. Virtues, obviously, self-discipline. That's a tough one in this world, especially since it's
yeah.
not particularly promoted. Daily examination. But this one I thought was interesting. And you actually have a scorecard here.
Right.
So I'm assuming you made this up.
Yes.
Okay. And how come it only goes through 10? What happens when you go over 10? You tilt or something?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a list of the probably 10 most common sins, and there's probably 50 of them that are out there.
Right, and then there's 10, you're supposed to count how many times you're
Yeah, for each day. And what's interesting about that, if you ever play golf or you keep track of baseball or statistics
right.
in sports, you kind of keep a scorecard of events. So each day, if you spend a little time analyzing your day and think about where you may have sinned, and you start identifying those day after day, then you realize, I can't keep doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to make some changes in my life.
Right.
So the daily scorecard is a great way to overcome temptation and sin
right.
because after a while you realize, I'm only hurting myself. I'm only hurting those around me, and I'm only hurting my relationship with Jesus. So how can I make that better?
Right, and it's an example to go back and look at. In listening to the voice of Jesus, so is the idea to make our Lord the quarterback of our life, so
to
speak?
Yes, sir, absolutely. Well, we use the analogy of a quarterback, and we all know he calls a play, and he balks out the signals, and 10 guys around him will go off and do something in some direction or another, whether they're blocking or getting open for a pass. And in the same way, Jesus is the quarterback of our souls if we are listening to his voice.
Now, and faith is a necessity, not an option. You say that when you were senior in college, and we got less than a minute to go, I felt the Lord was calling me to a vocation as a lawyer. I know we have an avocation. When you say it was a vocation, did you mean that?
I looked at the law as an opportunity to help people. So I was not only working for money, but I would always do a lot of pro bono free legal work for people who couldn't afford lawyers. And it looked at it as an opportunity to help people who had no idea how the system worked and how to get justice for them.
Okay. How long did it take you to write this book?
Well, it's about 2 years, to finish.
Are you working on another one?
Yeah, I've been thinking about it, right? I got some ideas been floating around. I have a little office next to my upstairs bedroom, and my wife gave me a little small part of a room to work in, and I've been thinking about some ideas for that.
Okay, when you write, how do you write?
I listen to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, like we were talking about earlier.
Right.
And so the themes just come over time.
Type on a typewriter?
I write notes. Yeah, I'm not a skilled typist. So.
Okay, very good. Well, the next time you have another book, make sure you stop by.
Thank you very much. Good to see you, Deacon. Thank you.
Deacon Richard Eason and his book, Spiritual Lightning, Answering Your Call from Jesus to Master His Values, something we really need to work on these days, a book available through our EWTN religious catalog, EWTNRC.com. For all things Catholic, I'm Doug Keck. Thank you for joining us right here on EWTN's Bookmark. We'll see you next time.